In the past 10 years, crowdfunding has gone from a bit of a niche domain of fans and enthusiasts to a very well-established method of getting the cash you need for your project. Now, media such as film and video gaming was especially quick to embrace the trend. And originally, I'd say, you know, the domain of smaller or indie developers, it's popular now with bigger studios. And occasionally with a bit of controversy. If you remember Zach Braff's crowdfunded film from 5 years ago that I feel like he's still wearing some shade for, the money offered by the crowds can be truly remarkable. One game, which remains unreleased, started development in 2011 and as of mid last year had raised over $150 million US. A little more modest is the game Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire from Obsidian Entertainment. Initially looking for just $1.1 million, that took well under 24 hours to be pledged by gamers who went on to offer up $4.4 million from a little over 33,000 people. Katrina Garston is a producer with Obsidian Entertainment working on the Deadfire game. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning. How are you?
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I should point out I was one of that 33,000 people. I was number 11,088, according to my documentation.
Well, I appreciate that a lot.
Well, I appreciate it too. But look, Obsidian's a big studio. What was the appeal of crowdfunding?
So we did crowdfund our first Pillars of Eternity as well. And when we crowdfunded that on Kickstarter previously, we did need the money for that game. And the fans essentially saved Obsidian. And we were in a tight financial spot at the time. And we appreciated that so much. And after the first game came out, we learned a lot about that. And for the second game, we still wanted to crowdfund. We tried a different platform this time. We tried Fig instead of Kickstarter, mainly because they had an investor portion of it. So people would, you know, invest money in the game. And then when it comes out, they'll get a return on it. So it interested us a lot. But additionally, we did really appreciate all of the backer feedback. And that was the main reason why we wanted to crowdfund the second game. We told ourselves that whether or not we crowdfund, we will make this game. It wasn't so much as that we needed the money this time to save the company, but more so we wanted fan feedback.
That's interesting. So I didn't realize that Fig allowed for investment backing as well. Because for a lot of people, crowdfunding is almost like I'm pre-buying this game or pre-buying these movie tickets or things like that. It's interesting that you talk about having to save Obsidian, because a lot of people would look at a studio of that size and with that sort of success rate behind it and think, how could that be going wrong? But I understand the studio model can be a little more fraught than people understand.
Because it's an independent studio, you know, we're looking for publishers for games that come out. And occasionally, you know, it can happen where a smaller studio of, you know, we're about 120 people right now. It is possible for a smaller studio to be in a tight financial spot. But, you know, we're Pillars of Eternity 1 was such a great success. And we aren't too concerned about money this time. But it's just the fan feedback portion of it.
Yeah, it's interesting because you don't normally get to connect with people until a game is out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very important for us to get feedback when we're developing the game. And so we've made the backer beta available to the people who have backed the game because we're implementing so many new features in the second game that weren't in the first one. And so it's really important for us to see what people think of the system and, you know, potentially make tweaks or changes based on these hardcore gamers that are really obsessed with the genre. It's always good to see what they think because, you know, sometimes just the developers playing through the game, we've made the feature, and so we don't really see the things that somebody from an outside perspective would spot.
It is a very old school RPG style of game, which does definitely have a, can we say, dedicated fan base?
Yes, definitely. It's a very niche fan base. If you've played any of the old Infinity Engine games like Baldur's Gate, Icewind Dale, it's kind of a nod to that genre. However, we've kind of modernized it. The visual improvements are incredible compared to those games from that time. But we've added in a ton of new features that just add to that Infinity Engine style. But there's so many new things that people can look forward to.
It's interesting that you would bring in the fan base for what is essentially a little bit of Q&A, which is great, or QA rather, because I think sometimes publishing models tend to view people as, you know, an end result, not part of a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's very important for us. Our fans are extremely important. And it's not just, you know, getting them their rewards when the game comes out and then, you know, seeing what they think from there, but we want them to be involved in the process. And additionally, because we crowdfunded this, we gave backers the option to put their content in the game. So they're really involved in the process. And some backers have their own islands that they've created. some have created pirate parties. And so you can get attacked by those pirate parties when you're sailing around in the Deadfire in the game. So they're very, very involved with everything. And no matter where you go in the game, you'll find backer content.
Is this increasingly the future of how, you know, not just games, but film and other content might be made, do you think?
You know, I think so, because a lot of quality content has come out recently that has been crowdfunded. I believe that recently there was the Oscar winner, The Silent Child. Mm-hmm. I believe that was a crowdfunded film. And look where that got to, and that won an Oscar. And so I feel like a lot of the content coming out now that has been crowdfunded is such a high quality level, and you're also involving fans along the entire process that you're making the content.
Is this something that's also aided by digital distribution, the idea that people aren't going and physically buying a box set of this? You know, it can be taken out to people via platforms like Steam. Do you think that's enhanced that kind of crowdfunding platform?
Yeah, I think so. Also, I mean, a lot of our fans do back tiers in order to get physical rewards too.
I love that.
And we really wanted to ask ourselves this time. So we do have a lot of fans that backed digital tiers, and I know that digital content is getting more and more popular as the physical copies of discs and whatnot are kind of getting phased out. However, it's really people still appreciate a really good collector's edition, and us asking ourselves, okay, what are fans really going to like? So you know, this time we came out with a statue, like an 11-inch tall, sorry, American measurements. but we have a really awesome statue this time. We still have our collector's box that goes right along with the first pillars. And we even introduced D&D-style miniatures that people can use, and they'll fit on a D&D board. And there are three returning companions for pillars, too.
And this is sort of stuff that backers were, and, you know, people were interested in getting.
Yeah, a lot of our fan base is a bunch of D&D players. So having stuff that really appeals to them and the old school style of gaming, but also including some really cool new things that can be combined together and make a really awesome set of physical rewards.
Look, Katrina, we will have to leave it there, unfortunately, but thank you so much for chatting this morning.
Thank you very much.